Masechet Shabbat in memory of Marcel and Jack Shasho. Ruach Adonai Tanichim Began Eden. Amen.
Daf Nun Gimal. Today's daf has been dedicated by Mr. Haim Dana in memory of Fager Ruth Bat Esther and Sarah Bat Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanichim Began Eden. Today's daf is being studied also Le'ilu Nishmat, Abraham ben Esther, and Baruch Rafael ben Miriam. Ruach Hashem Tanichem began Eden. Amen. We are on, actually, Gemara Shabbat Nun Bet Amud Bet, four lines from the bottom. We are starting from the Mishnah. And the Mishnah continues to discuss different things that animals may wear on Shabbat, and it is not considered caring for them. And the Mishnah says, Hamor yotze b'mardaat. A donkey may go out with a mardaat. Mardaat is a saddle cloth. Rashi says, Umanihin oto kol hayom ala hamon lehamemo. Which means they would put the saddle cloth on the donkey all day in order to warm up the donkey. The Amre Inche, because the saying is Hamra afilu betkufat Tamuz karir le, that a donkey even in the months of Tamuz, which is the summer, is cold. A donkey by nature is a cold animal, and therefore, in order to warm it up, they would place this mardaat, saddle cloth they call it, over the animal. They would place the saddle on top of that. So the Mishnah says it is permissible for a donkey to go out with the mardaat bizman shehi kishurabo, so long as it's tied. And the Gemara will explain what that means, that it has to be tied. Zecharim, which means the males, this is talking about a ram. Zecharim yotzim levuvim. They're able to go out levuvim. Now, the word levuvin, the Gemara is going to give different interpretations, so we'll wait till the Gemara to understand what the word levuvin means. Rehelot, rehelot would mean the sheep. Yotzot, they can go out on Shabbat. Shehuzot, kevulot, vekevunot. Those are three different terminologies. Again, we will wait for the Gemara to interpret each one of those terminologies. Again, shehuzot, kevulot, and kevunot. The last case of the Mishnah, ha'izim, that is referring to the goats. Yotzot, serurot. They're able to go out with their udders tied. Serurot means to tie, as she says, dadehen, their udders, serurot. Pa'amim liyavesh. Now what would be the reason why they would tie the udders of the goats? So that she says sometimes you want to dry them out. Shemehaddekan, you tighten them. Kedeshelo yichalbu od, because we want to stop them from producing milk. Viyitaberu, in order they should become pregnant. It seems so long as they're giving milk, they cannot become pregnant. And the fellow wants the animals to produce, so they would dry up the milk. How do you dry up the milk? By tying the udders. Or yiyush shemenot le'echol. Or if you don't tie them up, so they eat a lot. So therefore he wants to tie it up so they don't eat so much. Upe'amim, as she says, le'chalav. Lishmor helban shelo yitaftef. Sometimes you tie them up because you don't want the milk to drip. So you want to save the milk that's dripping out of the others, la'aris, that's landing on the floor. V'koshtin lehem kis bedadehem. They place basically like a pocket underneath the udders in order to stop the milk from being wasted. So different reasons why one would tie the udders of the animal. The Gemara is saying that according to Tanakama, in all cases it is permissible. Rabbi Yosef Oser Bechulam. Rabbi Yosef says that all these cases that we discussed are Asur. Chutz min al-rechelim ha-kivunot, except when it comes to the rechelim, the sheep, that we said you're allowed to send them out kivunot. Kivunot, the Gemara is going to explain later, it's a certain thing that they place over the wool of the animal in order to protect the wool of the sheep, in order that it does not become soiled. So the B.O.C. really is osir all the cases in our Mishnah. The only case he's lenient with is that the sheep, the rechelim, can go out kivunot, with this again item that's on the wool in order to protect it. So the B.O.C. is very machmir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Izim Yotzot Tzirurot Liyavesh Aval Lo Lehalav. Rabbi Yehuda argues on Tanakama, where Tanakama allowed to tie the udders of the animal in all situations, comes Rabbi Yehuda and makes a difference. He says you can only tie up the udders of the goat Liyavesh. What does it mean, Liyavesh? In order to dry them out. Aval Lo Lehalav. But not in order to save the milk from the dripping milk. Why? What's the difference? So that she, the Yehuda spira le ketanakama de la masuyu. Really, in principle, the Yehuda agrees to Tanakama that this tie or the sack that you place by the udders is really not considered a burden, and therefore it should be permissible. However, when you tie it in order to dry the udders out, you tie it very tightly. And therefore there's no suspicion that it might fall off and then the owner might come to carry it. But he says when they tie it just in order to catch the dripping milk, they don't tie it so tightly. So therefore there's a concern, according to Yehuda, that it might fall off and you might come to carry it. So therefore he's a little more mahmir when it comes to tying the udders, the dadin of the animal. Depends. If you're doing it liyavesh, to dry it out, therefore it's usually very tight, therefore it would be permissible. However, the halav, they don't tie it so tightly, and there's a suspicion that it might fall off. And now we go to the Gemara. Amar Shmuel. Shmuel said that which we learned in the Mishnah, that the Chamor is able to go out on Shabbat with the Mardat, with that saddle cloth, so long as it was tied, it says. Right? The Mishnah's Lashon was Chamor Yotze B'Mardat B'Zman Shi Kishurabo. So Shmuel said, "Vehu shekeshura lo me'erev Shabbat." It has to be tied from erev Shabbat, from already Friday, which means you have to have it already prepared from Friday, tied on the animal. And we'll see why in a moment. Amar Rav Nachman matnitin namidaika. The Mishnah later on in the Perek is also precise, that it's mashma that has to be tied already on the animal from Friday. Diktani, because it says, "En hachamor yotze b'mardat b'zman she'en hakishuralo." The next Mishnah is going to teach us that the hamor cannot go out on Shabbat with a mardat, with a saddle cloth, if it's not tied. So the Gemara asks, "Hechidame, what's the case? Ile ma she'en hakishuralo klal, if you mean that it's not tied to the animal at all, Peshita, of course, what do I need the Mishnah to tell me that for? Dilma naflale v'atel atuye. It might fall off the animal and you might come to carry it. So I don't need the Mishnah later on to tell us that if it's not tied to the animal, that it's forbidden. So what does it mean then, bizman she'ena keshura lo? El alav must be she'ena keshura me'ereb Shabbat. That means that it wasn't tied from Friday. Then it's asur for the animal to go out on Shabbat. Michlal, implying the resha, that the first part, meaning our Mishnah, shekeshura lo me'erev Shabbat, must be it's talking about where it's permissible for the hamor to go out on Shabbat. It's talking where it was tied, me'erev Shabbat. Shema mina, come in here. So this would be a proof. Tanya Namechir, we have a bright that is support what we just said. Hamor yotze v'mardat. Clearly the Braita says that the Hamor go out with the Mardat so long as it is tied Me'ereb Shabbat. Now the Taptus Afot gives us some insight on why it has to be tied already Me'ereb Shabbat. Taptus Afot. Which means, when you're tired already from Erev Shabbat, where you're showing that you want to warm the animal up, because that's why you would put it on, so that would be considered you showed it's a malbush, it's a garment for the animal, and anything that's a garment for the animal is not considered carrying. Aval ena keshura me'erev Shabbat, havi masui. But if you didn't tie it me'erev Shabbat, so now it's already considered carrying. It seems, because already since you didn't use it me'erev Shabbat to show that you want to warm up the animal, so therefore, this item now, it seems you're not using it for warming up, so therefore it's not considered a malbush. Tosfot then brings a few other reasons. One of the reasons he brings out from the Riporat, the Mehsi Kilo Mitkaven Leolicha Be'ma Lemkom Rahok, which means by placing it on Shabbat, it's a Marit'ayin issue, because it looks like you're taking the animal out to a far place. It seems that's the way they used to prepare the animal for a trip, and therefore that would be looking like you're doing something, the way that it explains, Ovdin Dehol, like a weekday item. So therefore, those are two reasons. Either because it's considered a burden, like Rashi says, it's a masui. If you don't put it on from Friday, it's not a malbush. Or according to Tosfot, it's a gezerah, that it might look like you're taking the animal to a far off place. Incidentally, there is a Yerushalmi here that gives a third reason that says it looks like you're using an animal. You're not allowed to use an animal on Shabbat. So I guess by dressing it up, by placing this saddle, so you're involved in mishtamesh bebahale hayin. Now, so that's the first din of our Gemara. The mardaat is permissible so long as it was tied me'ed of Shabbat. But let's continue that braita that we started to read. Velo be'ukaf. Ukaf would be the saddle itself, meaning the saddle itself of the animal. The animal cannot wear it on Shabbat. That would be considered carrying. Afal pi shekeshura lo me'erev Shabbat. Even though you tied it to the animal, me'erev Shabbat. So that's the opinion of Tana Kama of the Braita. There's a difference between a marda'at and a saddle. Comes the Gemara and says, Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel said, Af be'ukaf, even the saddle, bezman shekeshura lo me'erev Shabbat. So even the saddle, the animal can wear on Shabbat, so long as it was tied from before Shabbat. Ubilvad, conditional. Ubilvad shelo yikshor lo masrichin, so long as you don't tie to the animal masrichin. What are masrichin? These are different types of straps that they would wrap around the animal in order to make sure that the load that they placed on the saddle does not fall forward. So they place certain straps to keep the saddle and load in place. Ubilvad, and shelo yifshol lo ritzuat tahat zenavo, that you should not suspend a strap beneath its tail. Now they also put a strap on the back of the saddle in order that the load that they place on the saddle does not fall backwards. So while Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel allows the animal to go out with the saddle on Shabbat, but these items, these straps, are asur. Rashi says, the merzi kimishirotze latino masui, because it looks like you're preparing the animal to load it. And obviously you cannot load an animal on Shabbat. So therefore, to put the ukaf, it's okay. However, to put these straps in the front and the back, so that is going to be forbidden. Now, what's the reason why the Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel allows the animal to go out with the saddle on Shabbat? So that she says, the ihu nameh mehaneh lahamema, because it also heats up the hamor. Seems that when you place it on the back of the animal, it provides it with some warmth. So therefore, just like you could put the saddle cloth, me'erev Shabbat, because it provides the animal with warmth, so it's considered a beged, so too the ukaf as well, it would be permissible. But Tana Kama of the Mishnah does not allow to place the saddle. Why? It's considered a burden, it's considered carrying. It seems that Tana Kama will hold that true, the saddle does provide some warmth to the animal, but not enough to be considered a malbush. one is the saddle cloth. The marda'at provides substantial heat for the animal, therefore it would be permissible. Again, we're discussing what the animal can wear on Shabbat. Is it considered carrying or not? Now the Gemara goes further. Ba'amine Rav Aseh Bar Natan. Rav Aseh Bar Natan had a question. Rabbi Chiya Bar Rav Aseh. To Rav Chiya Bar Aseh. What was Rav Aseh's question? Ma'u liten marda'at al gabe hamor be Shabbat. Is it permissible to place this marda'at, the saddle cloth, on the donkey on Shabbat? Now, so we answered this question. We said it's got to be tied from before Shabbat. So the Gemara Rashi says, no. The question over here is not that the animal is going to go out with it in the public domain. The question over here is not carrying. If you, the animal wants to wear it outside in the public domain, we learned already the mardat has to be fastened Me'erib Shabbat to the animal. The discussion over here is, are you allowed to place a mardat on the hamor on Shabbat just for the animal to roam in the hatzir, in the private courtyard? Why would you want to put the mardat on? Because the animal is cold, so you want to warm it up. So what should be the question? Why should it be forbidden? If it's not an issue of carrying over here because it's not going out in the public domain, so what's the issue? So Tosfot explains that the question of the Gemara is an issue of Tirha b'Shabbat, which means, did they allow you to exert yourself in such a way on Shabbat? It seems certain things on Shabbat the rabbis forbade because it's considered an exertion. It's a tirha. So therefore, is this considered part of the gezerah of tirha b'Shabbat? The rabbis don't want you to exert putting marda'at on the animals. So that was his question. Is it permissible or not? Amar le, so Rav Chiya Bar Aseh answers, mutar. Very clearly, he tells him, it is permissible. No problem of tirha. Amar le, so he tells back to Rav Aseh Bar Natan, asks back, v'chi ma ben zeh le'ukaf. What's the difference between the mardat that you tell me is permissible than an ukaf, to an ukaf, which is the saddle, which it seems we know from somewhere, which we'll see in a minute, that it's forbidden to place a saddle on the animal on Shabbat? So he asked him, how could you tell me mutar by a mardat? What's the difference between that and an ukaf? Ishtik. So it says, Rav Chiya Bar Aseh remained silent. Now, Rashi explains that Rav Aseh Bar Natan misunderstood the silence, or understood the silence of Rav Chiya, that he was did not pay attention to his question. Which means he asked him a question. Hey, you're saying it's mutar to put the mardat on Shabbat. What's the difference in the ukaf? So he kept quiet. So he thought like he was disregarding him. So therefore he challenged him with the following braita. He said, why are you keeping quiet? Etibe, I'll bring you a question from a braita. Ukaf she'al gabe hamor. It says that the saddle that is on top of the hamor, lo yiteltelena biyado, on Shabbat, if you want to take it off, you're not allowed to take it off directly. Lo yiteltelena biyado. You cannot take the saddle off with your hands. So how do you get it off? Ela modicha umevi'a behaser. You can walk the animal in the haser, which means you walk the animal back and forth in the haser, in the backyard, in the courtyard. Ve'unofel me'elav. And it'll fall off by itself. So clearly we have a braita that says you're not allowed to take off an ukaf. So that she says, if you can't take off an ukaf, certainly you should not be allowed to put an ukaf on. Why? Because by placing an ukaf on Shabbat, as she says, it looks like you're preparing the animal to load it. So that would be forbidden on Shabbat. So therefore, the Gemara says, Hashda litol amart lo. You're telling me now that you cannot take the saddle off on Shabbat, only through walking the animal and letting it fall off by itself. To put it on, is it a question? So therefore, he proved him that taking an ukaf off, or for that matter, placing the ukaf on, is asur. So he said, just like you can't put the ukaf on, how come you allow me to place the mardat? So that was the question he asked him from the braita. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar le Rabbi Zera. So Rabbi Zera tells Rav Aseh, Shavke, leave him alone, leave Rav Chiya alone. Kidabes vidale.
He follows his rabbi. What are you bothering him for? He has an opinion that he's following. The reason why he allowed to place the mardat on the animal on Shabbat. Because clearly we have a statement of Rav Chaya bar Ashi in the name of Rav. It says Tolin Traskal Behema b'Shabbat. Rav allowed to place a traskal. Traskal would be a food basket or a bag that they place around the animal's neck, and they place food in it in order that the animal could just bend his neck a little and eat from the food in that basket. Rav was very lenient by placing this traskal, even though it's really not a garment, so to speak. It's really more for ta'anug, that she says. It's just to give the animal comfort by placing this bag, so it's easier for him to get this food. Still, Rav says, even if you're doing something not to protect the animal, but just to give the animal comfort, it is permissible as well. So, tolin traskal lebehema b'shabbat v'kal v'chomer lemardat. If you could place a traskal just to give it comfort, and it's not considered carrying, or the most of a mardat, which is actually alleviating some of the animal's pain because it's cold, certainly would be permissible to place that on the animal on Shabbat. Again, just like he allows, Rav allows to place a traskal, this food basket, on the animal. Again, I should point out, we're talking about over here, not that the animal is going out and carrying. I'm sorry. We're not discussing that the animal is going out and carrying. We're discussing, is that considered a terha or not? So Rav is lenient. Rav says you can even place a food basket around the neck of the animal just to give the pleasure. Or the more so, you'd be able to place a mardat in order to alleviate its pain because it's cold. That's the opinion of Rav. And the Gemara says, "Umaratam de mishum ta'anu share." In the case of the traskal, which is for pleasure, it's permissible to put on the animal on Shabbat. Hachat de mishum sa'al kol sheken. So therefore, or the more so, to place the mardat. So we see that Rav Chaya bar Ashi, when he said it's mutar to put the mardat on Shabbat, he was really basing it on his rabbi's opinion. Rav, Shmuel amar mardat mutar, traskal asur. Where Shmuel argues, he said, listen, I allow to place the mardat because it alleviates its pain because it's cold and therefore you want to warm it up. However, traskal asur, but to place this traskal, which means this food bag, Shmuel is going to be mahmir. So it comes out we have a mahloket by traskal. Is it permissible to place it on the animal on Shabbat or not? Rav says permissible, Shmuel says no. But by the case of the mardat, both opinions are lenient. And that suit of Chaya bar Ashi was relying on. He was relying on his rabbi's opinion. That's why he said mutar. Azal Rav Chaya bar Yosef. So the Gemara says Rav Chaya bar Yosef went Amra l'shmata de Rav. He said over the opinion of Rav. Kamed Shmuel in front of Shmuel. Meaning he said Rav's opinion that allows to place even a traskal, a food basket bag on the animal on Shabbat. So the rabbi of Chaya bar Yosef said this halakha in front of Shmuel. Amar le, so Shmuel reacted. Ihache, if so, Amar Abba, if Abba, that's the name they used to call Rav. If Rav said such a thing, lo yada b'mile de shabbeta velo kelum, he does not know from the laws of Shabbat at all. It means when he heard that halakha, he argued him vehemently. He says, what do you mean? How can he allow to place this traskal on the Shabbat? Which means what? Just to place a basket in order to alleviate or to provide some comfort? That's unnecessary exertion. That's considered a tenaf. He says such a thing, he doesn't know the first thing about the laws of Shabbat. Kisalik Rabbi Zera. When Rabbi Zera went up to Eretz Israel, Ashkechel Rabbi Yamin Bar Yefet. He found Rabbi Yamin Bar Yefet, the Yativ Kama that was sitting, and he was saying, Lemishemed Rabbi Yohanan. He quoted this halakha in the name of Rabbi Yohanan. And what did Rabbi Yohanan say? Notni Mardat Al Gabe Hamor B'Shabbat. Rabbi Yohanan clearly said as well, it is permissible to place the Mardat on the Hamor B'Shabbat, meaning it's not considered a Tirha. It's not considered an unnecessary exertion. Amar le. So when Rabbi Zera heard that, he told him, Yishar. He said, Yishar, which means very nice, very good. Vechen targama Aryoch beBabel. And that's the same way you should know that Aryoch explained it in Babel.
So the Gemara says, Aryoch Manu. Who's Aryoch? We never saw this opinion of Aryoch. So the Gemara says, Shmuel. That's the opinion of Shmuel. Shmuel was called Aryoch. It's a Aryoch that Tosfot says is Shem Melech. That's a name that the name of the king. It seems they would call the great Hachamim, specifically Shmuel, they referred to him as Aryoch. It's because he was like the Supreme Court justice. So they refer to Shmuel as Aryoch. And we know that we just learned in the statement above that Shmuel does allow to place the Mardat. So the Gemara says, Vehar Rav Name Amra. But Rav also said, which is when it came to putting a Mardat, both Rav and Shmuel agreed. So why did the Bizerah say to the Binyamin, so Shmuel's going like you? He could have said, Rav is going like him as well. Yeah, because he heard him finish the statement. Rabbi Yohanan finished that statement and said, "Ve'en tolin teraskal b'Shabbat," but you're not allowed to place the food bag on the animal's neck on Shabbat. Amadei Yishar, he told him, "Well said." Ve'chen targema Aryoch be'Babel, and that's the way Aryoch, which is Shmuel, explained the matter, because it was Shmuel's opinion that while you're allowed to place the mardat, but you're not allowed to place the traskal. So now the Gemara goes back and says, "Bekulal ma'miyad." Everybody, all the opinions, which means we see Rav and Shmuel all agree that what? Mardat mutar. That it is permissible to place a mardat on the back of the animal on Shabbat. So the Gemara says, Mai shena me'ukaf. Why should it be different than an ukaf? Which means we learned in the Braita above that you're not allowed to take off an ukaf, a saddle from the animal on Shabbat. You just have to let the animal move around and it'll fall off by itself. So Rashi said that if you can't, or the Gemara said, if you can't take it off, so certainly you would not be able to put it on. So then the question is, why can't you place an ukaf, but you can place a mardat? So the Gemara said, Shani Adam. It's different over there. De efshar de nafal memela. Which means there, we said it's forbidden to take it off, because it can fall off by itself, which means we're not going to allow you to exert yourself to take it off if it's possible to take it off, if it can fall off by itself. You just let the animal roam around and the ukaf will just slide off. So therefore, it's forbidden to take it off. It's mashma, according to this answer of the Gemara, where the Gemara is saying, Shani atam de'eshad nafam me'mela. It sounds like that the Gemara is really saying that it only be forbidden to take off the ukaf, but to place the ukaf on the donkey would be permissible because you have no way to get it on. The Gemara, it sounds like saying the only reason why the Braita said asur over there is because why? You have a way to get it off without doing it. Just let the animal walk around and it'll fall off. Mashma, that to place it on would be permissible. So it comes out now that even an ukaf can be, the saddle can be permissible to place it on the animal. So mardat would be mutar, and then the ukaf would be mutar as well to place it on. You just can't take it off, let it fall off by itself. And regarding, let's say, the third case was the sack of the food bag, which we call that the traskal, there we have a machloket, Rav and Shmuel. Rav says mutar, and Shmuel would say asur. Rav Papa gives a different answer, difference between the ukaf and the mardat. Rav Papa amar, kan lehamema, kan letzanena. Depends. By the case of the mardat, you're placing it on the animal in order to warm it up, in order to heat up the animal. So therefore, that's permissible to take the pain away from the animal. We allow you to exert yourself. Kan letzanena, but taking off the ukaf, you're taking it off, it's asur, because you would take it off in order to let the animal cool off. So the Gemara says, lehamema it letzara. Okay, well, to warm up the animal, letzara. So to put the mardat is permissible. However, letzanena let letzara. But there's no pain in the donkey trying to cool it off. Which means the reason why you would take the ukaf off is because you want to take off some of the garments of the animal in order to, you know, to cool it off. Yomara says that's not necessary. Why? Because the people say Hamra afil betkufat Tammuz, a Hamor, even in the summer months of Tammuz, Kiridale, is cold. And therefore it's going to get cold anyway. By nature it's a cold-blooded animal. So therefore even if you don't take it off, it'll get cold by itself. So therefore they did not allow you to take off the ukaf. So we have a second reason why you can't take the ukaf, because it really doesn't help you for anything. It's not going to make the animal cold. However, because the animal is going to get cold on its own, animal by nature, so taking off the ukav is not going to really help so much. However, placing the marda'at on, placing it on is because it's going to warm it up. Warming it up, everybody would agree. So it comes out, again, we have a deen of a marda'at, where everybody says it's permissible to put it on Shabbat. It's not considered terhayetera. We have a traskal. A traskal, we have a machloket, Rav and Shemuel, Rav Matir, Shemuel Osir, and we have the case of the ukaf, where the Braita specifically says you could not take it off on Shabbat, and we're learning one of two reasons, either because it can fall off by itself, or because the animal is going to get cooled anyway by itself, and therefore that would also be considered a Tidha. Comes the Gemara further, Metibe. Now the Gemara is going to ask some questions. So the Gemara asks a question from a Braita. What does it say in the Braita? This is a long Braita. We're going to learn all the cases, and then we'll see exactly where the Gemara is asking from. Lo yitzeh hasus bezanav shu'al. A horse is not allowed to go out on Shabbat into the public domain with a foxtail. Now what is this foxtail exactly? So Rashi tells us that they used to place this foxtail between its eyes. It was like a certain sigula against ayin hara. So that's not considered a garment. The horse cannot wear that foxtail between its eyes on Shabbat. Velo bezehoririt sheben einav. Nor can it go out with a zehoririt. That would be, let's say, a red string or a strip that they would also place on the animal for decorative purposes. That is also forbidden. Lo yitzeh azav bekishelo. Azav, as we learned, is a man that has an emission from his body, that's tameh, and he wants to place a sack in order to catch the emissions that are coming out, in order that he could know exactly, you know, if he could start the purification process or not. So since that's not considered a garment, so therefore, it's considered carrying. Velur izin bekisha bedadehem. Nor can the goats go out wearing the sack on their udders. Velo para, nor can a cow go out behasom shebepiha. Hasom would be considered the muzzle in its mouth. Seems that the cow, they used to muzzle it in order that it doesn't graze in other fields, as she says. But once it got to the owner's field, so then they would usually take it out. Therefore, it's not necessary on Shabbat. Velo sayahim betraskalin shepipihim. A sayah would be like, let's say, a small horse. It would be forbidden, the Braita says, for it to go out with the food basket around its neck. Nor can an animal go out on Shabbat with a sandal, with its shoe that they make out of metal, in order that the foot, the heel of the animal, does not get hurt by the stones. Nor can an animal not go out on Shabbat with an amulet, even though it cured, as she says, three people. In the old days, they used to wear different amulets in order to bring them cures. Amulet is written with different, let's say, names of the Kadosh Baruch Hu, etc. And they would wear it, and that would bring them nefuah. So certain kimi'im worked more than others. So a kamiya, an amulet that worked, that cured three people, is considered already mumhe. It's an expert one. So it says the animal cannot go out wearing a kamiya, even an expert kamiya, on Shabbat. Vezu homer bebehema bebeadam. And this is a stringency that animals have over men. Now, it seems that this is referring to the last thing we said, whereas a man can go out on Shabbat wearing a kamiya, that's a mumhe, that worked three times, an animal, not. Aval, the Braita continues, yotzehu be'eged she'al gabei hamakah. It's permissible for the animal to go out with a bandage that is on the wound, which means, let's say there's a makah, he has a bruise or something on his body, so he's able to go out wearing a bandage. Ubekashishin she'al gabei hashever. What is kashishin she'al gabei hashever? So the Mefashim explained that let's say he broke a bone, so they would place like pieces of wood, I guess it's something like a splint that they would place on both sides of the fracture, they would place pieces of wood in order to keep the bone in place. So that is permissible to go out on Shabbat the animal. Let's say its placenta started to dangle out of the animal. It started to give birth. So the placenta already is hanging out. So it's still permissible to go out on Shabbat like that. If the animal, let's say, has a bell, zug is a bell, around its neck, it's permissible for the animal to go out with that bell so long as you stuff it up from before Shabbat. Now that she says, because if you didn't stuff up the bell, you can't even bring it out to the private courtyard. Because it's gonna sound off. It's gonna make a ringing sound. And it's gonna make noise. And therefore it's like an inyan of making music on Shabbat or making sounds on Shabbat. So therefore they would stuff it up with, let's say, tzemer, wool, or mochin, with different material, in order to stuff it up on Shabbat. And even when you stuff up the bell, it's only permissible in the private domain, but they did not allow to take the animal out with the bell, even if it's stuffed up in the public domain. The reason the Gemara is going to say later on is because even if it's stuffed up the bell, that's the way they used to bring the animals to the marketplace, wearing a bell around it. So therefore on Shabbat, if you're going to let it go out in the public domain, it's going to give the impression that you're taking it out to sell in the market. So therefore, that which we said, the bell, it's only permissible if you stuffed it up and only in the private domain. Okay, that is the Braita. So again, basically what we have the Braita tell us certain things the animal can go out on Shabbat with, and other items that the animal cannot. Now we're going to zone in on where the question is. Katane mihat. Well, we have a partial quotation of this braita. Ve'lo sayachin betraskelin shebepiem rishut rabim. That what? That the sayach, the horse, cannot go out on Shabbat. And the sayach is a small horse, a colt. Cannot go out on Shabbat in the public domain with this basket around its neck in the public domain. So the Gemara makes a diyuk. Yes, he cannot go out in the public domain. But in a private domain, it would be permissible. And it sounds like we're talking about over here, gedolim, which means these big colts. Umishum ta'anug. And the whole issue over here is just to give them comfortability, that it'd be easier for them to eat by placing this sack around their neck, so they can just bend their head little, you know, down in order to get the food that's there. So therefore, that's a support for the opinion of Rav that allowed to place a traskal on the animal on Shabbat. Could you see from this braita, only in the public domain it sounds like it was forbidden, but in the private domain it would be permissible, even though it's just for comfort. So there's no problem of tirha. This would be a question on Shmuel that was osir. And for that matter, Rabbi Yohanan as well was osir. So the Gemara says, no, beketanim. We're not talking about big horses over here. We're talking about small colts that she says, arkebotehem givuim. They're very tall, long knees, with savaran katan, and a small neck. So because of that proportion of their high legs and small leg, it's difficult for them to bend down all the way to the ground to eat their food. So therefore this is an inyan of tsa'ar. This is an inyan of pain. And therefore to alleviate the pain of the animal, you're allowed to place this basket around the neck. So we're talking about ketanim over here. So therefore, it's not a question on Shemuel. Shemuel was upset about the basket if it's just for comfort. That's considered tirha. However, to exert yourself in order to take the pain out of the animal, just like they allowed to put a mardat, so they would be allow you to place this food basket as well. Because we're talking about ketanim, small colts. So the Gemara says, Daikaname, the Braita actually is precise that we're talking about taking away the pain of the animal. Deketani, because it says, Dumya dekamiya, which means it's, the next case in that Braita was that the animal cannot go out with a kamiya, that amulet on Shabbat. Now, why would the animal go out with a kamiya? The animal's relieving it from, the kamiya relieves it from its sickness. So you see what? That these cases in the Braita were talking about taking the animal out of its pain. So just like the Kamiya case was talking about relieving the animal, so too the Traskal case was not for the comfort of the animal, it was to relieve it of its pain, because it was talking about a small colt that's long-kneed and short-necked, and then for it to bend all the way down to the ground, it's sad, so it break this basket. So therefore, Shema Minah, therefore we have no question against Shemuel. Comes the Gemara now and analyzes some of these statements from the Braita. Amar Mor, we had a statement from the Braita, Velo Bekamiya, the animal cannot go out with an amulet, Afa Pishu Mumche, even though it's an expert amulet that worked three times. The Gemara says, what do you mean? But we learned later on in the Mishnah, Velo Bekamiya She'enu Mumche, that a human being, a man, cannot go out on Shabbat wearing a unproven kamiya, that a kamiya that we're not so sure, did not work yet three times to heal people. Ha mumche shapir dame. But if it's a professional, we'll call it the kamiya that worked, so it's permissible, it's not considered carrying. So therefore, why should it be forbidden for an animal? Which means if a man can go out with a kamiya that works, it's an effective kamiya, so too the animal should also be permissible. So the Gemara says, no. Yeah, we're talking about over here, the reason why the animal can't go out, because it's not a proven kamiya. Gemara says, what are you talking about? What do you mean? But the Braita clearly said, even though it is a mumche. So you see, even though the kamiya is an effective kamiya, still it is forbidden for the animal. Why is that so? So the Gemara says, mumche le'adam. Yeah, we're talking about that this kamiya worked on human beings three times, but it's not was not affected to help animals get cured. So that's why the Braita calls it a mumche, because yes, the kamiya was effective to help cure human beings, but it was not effective to cure animals. That's why the animal can't wear it. So the Gemara says, "Umiika mumche la'adam ve'lo'avi mumche la'behema." Is that possible that a kamiya can work on a man, but does not have the ability to work on an animal? If it can cure three men, can it cure? If it cured three men, certainly can it cure an animal? The Gemara says, yeah, no, that's true. It can work on the man, but not on the animal necessarily. Adam di itle mazala, a man that has what's called mazal, that she says that's a certain angel that he has, that's his advocate, misayayale. So with the angel and the kamiya, so he has extra aid. But an animal that does not have this mazal, this angel, let's say, that's guiding it, lo misayayale. So it's possible that the kamiya will not work. So the Gemara says, if so, maize chomer bebehema beadam. Why did the Braita say that this is a case where the law of the animal is more stringent than the man? Which means it comes out, it's not more stringent, it's the exact same law. Which means a kamiya that works for a man is permissible for him to carry on Shabbat. So too, it would be permissible to go out on Shabbat if it cured the animal. Which is the Braita said it's forbidden only because this kamiya is not affected by animals. But if it's affected by animals, it would be permissible as well. So that's not more stringent law. It's the same exact law. It might be more difficult to find a kamiya that cures the animals. But bottom line, if you find a kamiya that's effective, it would be permissible as well. Why did the Braita say that this is a stringency that we find by an animal over a man? It's really not a stringency. It's the same deen. So the Gemara says, Misa Varta kamiya kaya. Are you thought that that line that said this is more stringent by an animal is talking about the kamiya case? No, you're right. By the kamiya case, they're exactly the same. An effective kamiya, a human being can wear on Shabbat, and a animal can. So what's the string? You see, a sandal ka, that's going back on the shoe case, where it's forbidden for an animal to wear a sandal on Shabbat. It seems because we're concerned that what, it might fall off. But a human being can. So therefore, there is a humrah. A man can wear a shoe on Shabbat. We don't suspect that's going to fall off, but an animal, no. Tashima, come and listen. Sachin. What does that mean? We're able to anoint, let's say the animal has a wound, and you want to anoint it on Shabbat with oil, so it says sachin, you can anoint umefarkesin. I'm sorry, this is talking about a human being. I go back. Tashema, sachin umefarkesin le'adam. It is permissible to anoint a wound with oil on Shabbat, umefarkesin, as she says, that's to actually scrape off, let's say, the, I guess, the scab that's on the wound of a human being. But it's forbidden on Shabbat to do such a thing to the animal. So the Gemara says, "My love, the ika makkah mishum sa'ar." And even though the animal has a makkah, a wound, and the animal is in pain, and still we're saying it is forbidden. So this would be a question on Rav and Shmuel, meaning Rav and Shmuel allowed to do things on Shabbat to the animal in order to alleviate its pain. For example, they allowed to place a mardahat, the saddle cloth, on the back of the animal. Why? Because it alleviates its pain. So this case over here, you're alleviating its pain. You want to place the oil on the wound in order to alleviate its pain. You want to take off the scab in order to alleviate its pain. So why does the Braita here say that is forbidden? Gemara says, no, that's not the case. The Gemar Makkah, we're talking about already the wound healed already. And now it's just at the end of the makkah, and you're only putting the oil, umishum ta'anug, only to give it additional comfortability. To give it additional comfortability, that is going to be asur. Now it should be pointed out that ta'anug is only asur according to Shmuel, because he was osir as well to place the traskal on the animal on Shabbat, because that just makes it comfortable. So this braita can work out according to Shmuel. However, this braita that's forbidding ta'anug, that you cannot anoint the animal with oil because it's going to give it comfortability, that's forbidden on Shabbat because it's considered excessive labor. How is Rav going to explain this braita? Rav allows even ta'anug. As we learned, Rav allowed to place a traska, so he'd allow me also to place this oil. So the answer is going to be that Rashi says Rav is considered a Tana, and therefore Rav Tanahu Upalig. Rav is considered a Tana, and therefore he's able to argue even on a Braita. So we'll say Tanug is permissible for that matter. According to Rav, he'll also argue on the previous Braita that we learned, you cannot take an ukaf, a saddle, off the animal on Shabbat. We said just let it fall off by itself. Whereas according to Rav, if it's permissible to do things to give the animal comfort, so therefore, just like you can place the traskal on, so it'll let you take the ukaf off. But we have a braita that says you can't take the ukaf off directly. Rav, again, is a Tana, that she says, and he can argue on those braitot. Comes the Gemara further, Tashema behema she'achazadam. Let's say the animal, ahazadam, it has a certain type of sickness by its blood. So how would they cure it? They would usually send it down to the water to cool off. But it says, "En ma'amidim ota b'mayim b'shvil shetitztanin." You cannot take it down to the water in order for it to cool off. Adam she'ahazadam, but if the human being has the same sickness of the blood, ma'amidim oto b'mayim b'shvil shetitztanin. You're allowed to bring him down to the water in order for him to cool off. So we see over here, obviously the animal is betzar. So therefore we see that even though the animal is in pain, you cannot alleviate the pain on Shabbat. That we consider it terhas. So that's a question on both Rav and Shmuel. So the Gemara says, Amar Ula said, now here's a different point. Gezera mishum shehikat samamanim. This issue over here that you might come to grind spices, meaning this is considered medicinal. And therefore we know that we're not allowed to do anything that's medicinal, that's a remedy on Shabbat, because the rabbis made a gezerah. If we allow you to do remedies on Shabbat, you might come to grind up the spices that make the the medicine. That's the way they used to do it. They used to grind up the semanim. So therefore, that's why it's forbidden to let the animal go down, because that's not considered a remedy if you put it in the water. And therefore, you might come to grind the semanim. So the Gemara says, Yache Adam Nameh. So then it should be forbidden for a human being to do this as well. The same Gemara applies that you might come to make the medicine. Gemara says, no, Adam Nireh Kemekah. No, a human being, when he goes down into the water, it's not evident that he's doing it for medicinal purposes. It looks like he's just cooling himself off. A human being goes down, he's hot, so he wants to cool himself off. So it's not evident that it's for rifuah. So when a person does something that's not evident for rifuah purposes, the rabbis not make their gezerah. Yache, the Gemara says, be'eman amen rekemekar. Yeah, so let the animal also, let him go down into water. And of course, it also looks like he's cooling himself down. Gemara says, en mekar lebehema. There's no such concept of an animal going down to cool himself down in the water. When they're going to bring the animal into water, it looks clearly as a rifuah, and therefore it would be forbidden by the animal, because you might come to make the medicine itself, and that would be the isur of grinding, which is asur on Shabbat. So the Gemara asks, v'ne behema mi gazrinan? What do you mean? Do we make gezerot like this, where the animal is sick, let's say in this case over here, we have a chance of losing your animal? Do we make such gezerot in the case of hefsed, in the case of financial loss? Did the rabbis impose their gezerot, which means in this case over here, you're telling me that you cannot bring the animal into the water, gezerah from the rabbis that you might come to crush the medicine on Shabbat? Do the rabbis enforce their laws in the case of hefsed, where financial loss of the animal? So the Gemara's Ba'atanya, didn't we learn, hayta omedet chutz latchum? Let's say the animal was standing outside a person's tomb. We know on Shabbat a person is allowed to go, let's say, 2,000 amot outside the city. That's as far as he can walk. So wherever he's allowed to walk, that's where his animal's allowed to walk. So it says, let's say the animal roamed outside the owner's tomb Shabbat. So the deen is kore la. So the owner is allowed to call the animal the hiba'a, and the animal is able to come back into the tomb. Velo gazrin, and the rabbis did not make a gezerah, dilma atel atuye, that you might come to bring him back in, which means you cannot bring him back in because that's going to cause you to go outside the tomb. But the rabbis said, we're not going to make such a gezerah, you can call him back in. So the hidush over here is, you see that in the case of financial loss, the rabbis didn't make gezerot. So why would we make a gezerah by the case of the animal going down to the water? So the Gemara says, Amar Rabina said, no, kegon shehaya tchum shela muvla betok tchum shelo. This is a specific case. What is the case? That the animal is really within the tchum of the owner. So then what's the case? Before Shabbat, the owner gave the animal to a shepherd, let's say. Now, once he gives it over to the shepherd, so the law is the animal follows the tomb of the shepherd. So let's say the animal was out of the tomb of the shepherd, but where the animal was, it was still considered in the tomb of the owner. So now there's an overlapping of the tomb of the owner and the tomb of the shepherd. So the animal is standing outside the tomb, which means, yeah, it's the outside of the animal's tomb because he's going by the shepherd, where it's still in the tomb of the owner. So in that case, we say it's permissible for the owner to call the animal in, because, bottom line, since the owner himself is in his tomb, and therefore, the rabbis are not making gezerah that you might come go get him, because really he's in his own tomb. The only issur is over here, you might say, that once the animal goes out of its tomb, it's really not allowed to walk. It has to really stay in its place. And by calling him, you're causing it to walk. Well, the rabbis didn't make such a gezerah by an animal, and therefore it's permissible to call him. And so therefore, in that case, the reason why we didn't make a gezerah is because it's really in the tomb of the owner. We thought originally it was outside of the owner's tomb, and still we were lenient. So no, it's in his tomb. That's why we do not make the gezerah in financial loss. Comes the Gemara and says, we're on the first wide line of Nachman Bar Yitzchak Amad, Shechikat Semamanim Gufa Tanae, which is
this concept itself of grinding, making this gezerah of medicine by animals on Shabbat, that's a machloket tanaim as well. Let's say an animal ate garshin, that's a certain type of food, he ate an excessive amount of it. Now he's sick, so you want the animal to relieve himself. So it says, "Lo yiritzei na bechatzer." You're not allowed to cause the animal to run back and forth in the courtyard, b'shishet tetrapeh, in order that his stomach becomes soft and he will go to the bathroom. Let's say he'll have a bowel movement. The Rabbi Yoshaya matir. Rabbi Yoshaya says it's permissible, even though it's medicinal. So is he ready? Rabbi Yoshaya holds that the gezerah of shaykat samamanim, of grinding medicine, does not apply to animals. We allow them to do this process of running the animal around in the field in order to get it to relieve itself. For that matter, Rabba was Doresh, Halakha follows Rabbi Yoshaya. So we see, in effect, comes that we learned a mahloket amongst Tanaim. Again, if somebody would ask, is it permissible to do something medicinal for an animal on Shabbat Gezerah, that you might come to do Shaykat Samanim? It's mahloket Tanaim, and the Gemara concludes that Halakha follows the lenient opinion. Amar Mor, we go back to that Braita. Lo yitzeh hazah bekishelo. The Zav cannot go out on Shabbat with its kis, with that sack that's underneath, that's on his body to catch the flow. Velur izim bekisha bidadehem. Nor can the goats go out with the sack that's on their udders. The Gemara says, "Vatanya yotzot izim bekisha bidadehem." We have a clear brayta that says they can go out. So we have a steed out here. One brayta says they can't go out with the sack, and another brayta says they can. Amar Rav Yehuda lakasha. Rav Yehuda says no question. Had mehadek, had lo mehadek. We can explain very simple. One braita is talking about where it's tight, and therefore we're not concerned that it might fall off, and therefore the animal can go out with it on Shabbat. And one case is talking about lo mehadek, where it's loosely placed, and therefore the gezerah is it might fall off on Shabbat. So that's the way we're answering it. Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Yosef says, Tanaesh shakalt mehalma? What do you mean? Are there no Tanaim left in the world? You took all the Tanaim out of the world? Which means, why did you have to explain the Braita, one case is where it's loose, and one case where it's not loose? You know, there's opinions already. We have Tanaim that have opinions on this, where we can establish the Braita, the two Braita, according to two different opinions. Meaning, Tanaim. It's about look at Tanaim if you're allowed to put this tie around the udders. What's the machloket tanaim? Ditnan al mishnah ha'izim yotzot sirurot. Tanakama says that you can always tie the udders of the animal, and it's not considered carrying. Rabbi Yoseh osir bechulan chutz min adechelot akevonot. And Rabbi Yoseh was osir all cases in al mishnah to tie the udders. Rabbi Yehuda omer izim yotzot sirurot liyabesh. And Rabbi Yehuda made a difference. If you're doing it to dry up the animal, so then it is permissible. To dry up the milk of the animal is permissible. Avalo lehalav, but not to catch its milk. So already we could say the two braitot. The braita that says it's permissible could be going according to Tanakama Va Mishnah that allowed it in all cases. And the braita that said it's forbidden could be going like Rabbi Yosef. So therefore Rabbi Yosef opted to make the braita according to two different opinions. It seems according to Rabbi Yosef, he didn't like the first answer of Rabbi Yehuda that said, one is talking about where it's loose and one it's not loose. I don't need a braita to tell me if the kis is loose that you can't go out with it on Shabbat. Obviously, if it's loose, it's going to fall off. I don't need the braita to tell me that. Ela, I could say the braita is going according to the machloket of the Tanaim of HaMishnah. The braita that said it's permissible to tie up the dadin of the animal, that's going according to the opinion of Rabbi Meir, which is really the first opinion of Mishnah. Stam Mishnah Rabbi Meir. Actually, Tanakama that allows it would be Rabbi Meir. And the one that said it's asur in all cases would be Rabbi Yosef. That's why we can explain the Braita. Or we can give a different answer. Haveha Rabbi Yehuda. I can explain that both those Braitot are following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Vela kasha, and there is no question. Kan li yabesh, kan li halev. Which means one, the case where it said it's permissible, that's talking about where you're trying to dry it out. And therefore, he said it's permissible, because in that case, they would tie it. Actually, that's not considered carrying, because they would tie it tightly. Kan lihalav, and the other case is talking about you're doing it for the halav, for the milk. And Rashi says, since you're doing it for the milk, meaning you're catching the milk that's coming out of it, so that catching of the milk, that milk that it's carrying in the sack is going to be considered carrying, and therefore would be forbidden on Shabbat for it to go out like that. So again,
We have two answers, the way to explain, actually we have three answers, the way to explain the discrepancy in these braitot. Let's review these three answers. One braita said it's permissible for the animal to go out with the sack around the dadim, the udders on Shabbat. And another braita said that it is forbidden. So how can we answer? So the first answer that Yehuda gave was, Hadim hadik, hadelo mahadik. The case that's permissible is talking about where it's tied tightly. And the case that is forbidden is talking about where it is tied loosely. Rav Yosef did not like that. He said, why do you have to explain tied tightly or loosely? We can explain it according to Tanaim, because we have a machlok and a Tanaim on this subject, based on our Mishnah. I can say the Braita that said it's permissible, that's Tanakama of our Mishnah that allowed it in all cases. And the Braita that said it's forbidden, that's going like Rabbi Yosef that forbade it in all cases. The third answer, we can say that both Braitot are following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda and our Mishnah made a difference between why you're placing the tie by the dadim of the animal. Either you'll say it's because the yavesh, to dry it. So to dry it, we'll say it is permissible. And that would be the bright that it says permissible. Rashi says, incidentally, over here, the yavesh, mehadek shapir, it's tied tightly. And really it's considered a malbush to the animal because it benefits the animal, because by drying it up it gives the animal strength, because now it does not have to release the produce the milk. So that's considered for the purpose of the animal. It's like for the protection of the animal, therefore it's not considered carrying. So the braita that said that it's permissible for it to go out is liyavish. And the braita that said asur would be lehalev, that she says, havim masush shito'enet et ha'halav bekis, where it's carrying the milk that's going to fall, the dripping milk that's going to carry it in the kis, and that would be forbidden. Now there should be one point we must point out over here. According to this third answer, that she's giving us a reason why it would be forbidden if you're tying this to catch the milk. Because the milk that's being caught, you're carrying that milk in the sack itself. However, in Rashi and Al Mishnah, when he explained the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, he said the reason why lehalav is asur is because you tie it loosely. So why is he giving us a different reason? Here he's giving us the reason because of the milk itself that it's carrying in the sack. Well, in the Mishnah gave us the reason is because you don't tie it tightly. So the explanation of Mefarshim say is because over here we're talking in the answer of Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef did not like to reconcile these braitot by saying it's talking about that it's loosely. Because he's saying, well, the case of asur is loosely, that's obvious. So therefore we have to say a new reason, that the reason why it's asur, according to one of the braitot, is, yes, according to the Yehuda's reason. But we'll give a new reason for the Yehuda. The reason why the halav for the Yehuda is asur, because of the milk that it catches in there, so the sack is catching that milk and carrying that milk, that's considered carrying that milk, and that would be asur on Shabbat, even if you would tie it tightly. But bottom line, the milk is falling in there, and therefore it would be asur. We continue a few more lines of the Gemara. Gemara says, Tanya Amar of Yehuda. We have a braita name of Yehuda, Maaseh Be'izim Bet Antuchia. We have a story with the goats of a place called Bet Antuchia. Shayu Dadehen Gassin, that the others were very fat. Ve'asu Lahem Kisin, and they made for them these sacks that they placed them under the udders. Kedeshelo Yisretu Dadehen, in order that their dadim, their udders, do not scrape themselves on the ground. They're just showing there was a beracha in that place that was so big that they would rub against the floor and they would get, I guess, thorns and things like that. So in order to alleviate that, they would place these sacks underneath them in order to protect them. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen ve'amen.